Hello, I'm Ty Hoffman, and we're here for Bio 181. Now, let me start with a couple questions. First of all, how do you want the lights? Less? Here are your choices. Almost none. Now, you don't want it right in front. Or none. Total apathy?
I like them on.
You like them on?
Yeah.
Is that the best for most people? I mean, that one. No, that's front. What about that?
Probably that one.
You get a spotlight on yourself.
I guess that'll be the best because it's not the front. All right. The next question is, I've talked to one waitlister already. Is anyone else a waitlister? So everyone else is registered for this course already? Okay, now it looks like there's no empty seats, right? So that means I can't let you stay now, but it does not mean that absolutely you won't be allowed in the class. It's just that it's going to require one of these people deciding they don't want to be in and dropping. So,
Email me.
Have you been to this website?
No. I have your non campus, but I have your email on the campus.
Okay, if you have my email, email me just to remind me that you're okay. That you're on the wait list, and we'll go from there. Okay, now we are here for Bio 181. And so I'm not going to go straight into lecturing on biology. Since it's the first day, we need to talk about the course a little bit. And this is, it's always my least favorite day because no one knows each other for one thing, but also because it's not like normal days. We're all over the place, including talking about the course. And I want to tell you the truth about this course, but it's often interpreted by students as being a discouraging speech. I don't intend it that way. I don't want to discourage you. I want you to be excited about the course. I just want you to believe what I'm going to say about how demanding it is, because the worst thing you can do is not believe me and get behind at all. Because that'll make it even more of a struggle. I've taught 181 a lot of times. Chances are you've never taken it. So you should believe me about when I say I know what's going to happen. There's never been an exception to this, really. About every term, roughly half of the students don't make it through. So that's a big deal, of course, because this is an important course. It's a majors course, majors biology course. So everyone here, almost everyone, unless you took it as an elective, is here as some sort of biology major. Now, as a little bit of an aside, let me say that hopefully you're interested in biology. Because if you're not, you should not have biology as a major. It's really important in college. I mean, that's one of the main functions of college. It's really important to find something that you actually like in life. So if this material bores you, you should go on to something else. There's nothing unusual about changing majors. I'm not trying to tell you that you should change majors, but hopefully you are interested in biology. And this is one of two courses that are the most important, probably, of all your biology courses you'll take, because there are two basic courses in biology. 181 is one, the other is 182. Not every major goes on to 182, but most do. And the difference really is just one of scale. In 181, this course will be staying within the cell, so to speak. We're going to talk about everything that happens at the cellular level. 182 is everything outside the cell, so a bigger scale. But they're both basic courses. meaning they form the basis of your understanding of biology, which is why no matter how many biology courses you'll take, you'll keep learning the things that you're first introduced to in Bio 181 and 182. So I don't want you to misunderstand basic as easy. It's not at all. It doesn't mean easy at all. It just means it forms the basis. It's the fundamentals of the science. Well, back to this course being demanding. Like I said, it has a very high attrition rate. About half of the people don't make it through on the first try. And that's not because this material is impossible to understand stuff. That's not the reason. The reason is mostly that modern students are way too busy. That's not your fault. The course has not changed over the years much, but society has changed. Before you were born, there was a time when someone fresh out of high school had a full-time job known as being a college student. That's all they had to do. And so there was time for demanding courses like this. But nowadays it's typical for a student to have a job, to have a spouse, to have children. All of those things are important, of course, but they take time. And so what has really changed societally is the amount of time available for a student to devote to the courses. And so we can't adjust the course to make it easy for modern busy students to get through. That means if you have a hell of a lot of things to do, which most students do, something has to give. Either everything suffers or at least one thing suffers. And I can understand, certainly, that you can't say, well, I'm just going to stop working. If you have to work, you have to work. But that means there's not going to be enough time for the course. And that's why. Not because of difficulty of concepts, but because of shortage of time. That's why people have to drop the course. I hope it doesn't happen. But I say that every term, and it has never happened, that a big fraction of the courses of the class is still here at the end of the term. Try, though, to not let that sound discouraging. I don't want to lie to you. You're in for a demanding course, but if you like biology, despite the demand, it can be really enjoyable. It's the kind of course that you'll be glad you got through because of the workload. But you'll be more fond of it probably after you're through that workload. Okay, now, is anyone here, is there anyone here who's never been to this site?
I have.
Okay, I ask that usually just to see whether people are honest. There's no penalty for that. I think a lot of people just act like they've been there. And I know that several of you have been here because you've done things on this site that are required for you. So no problem if you've never been here. But this is one of three websites associated with the course. It is not okay, though, tomorrow and onward if you've never been there. So let me give you your first bit of homework, which is ungraded but still required. By midnight tonight, hopefully sooner, I want you to visit this site, which is the Hoffman site. You can get to this through Canvas, but you should not do it that way because Canvas will probably be down sometime in the term. And if it is and you haven't bothered to bookmark this, then you can't get to either of the two websites. So use Canvas to get to it the first time, but then bookmark it immediately. Anyway, by midnight tonight, take a look around. This is not a complex website, this Hoffman site. Just click on all of these menu links one at a time to see what's there, to see what you think you know yourself as a student. See what might help you. And remember what's there that can help you through the term. Because you'll get busy immediately. I want you to do this during the easiest day of the term, which is today. All right. Now, the Canvas website is what I think most students are used to, unless you've never taken a course at Maricopa. Is everyone familiar with Canvas already?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And no one's had any problems with Canvas? Technical problems, good. You'll notice that when you go to the Canvas for this course, which is one of the three sites, the home page, that should be the first thing you see, tells you that you'll also have to be using this site. It points to this site, in other words, the Hoffman site. So that's two sites, Canvas and the Hoffman site. The third site is the Connect site, which is a McGraw-Hill site. I don't have any control over that site, but it's still one of the required sites. And thankfully, you've already paid for access to that, so you don't have to spend any more money to get to those assignments. The Connect site is more than just assignments, though. There is an e-text associated with it. The e-text you are free to use for whatever you want, of course, but I want to point out that it's the e-text, which is a textbook, is not the best way to prepare for the most valuable things in this course, which are my lecture examinations. The material will be in the e-text one place or another, but that's not what you should be using the e-text for. I'll talk about the examinations more in a minute. The main source of information for my exams should be my recordings, my lecture recordings. But there is a really good use of the e-text on Connect, and that is to use it for all of the Connect homework, which all of which is open book. The open book means that you're allowed to find the answers, right? Now, to get through this course, you do not want to waste a single point. And not all points are equal. There are hard points and there are easy points. Well, on the easy range of points are open book points. Right? So you do these Connect homeworks, and if there's any doubt in your mind about an answer that you're submitting or about to submit, then you should not submit that answer until you use the e-text to check whether you're right. All of that takes a lot longer than just trying to go right through the questions and answering them. But if you don't take that little bit of extra time, which means not starting the assignment 10 minutes before it's due, if you don't do that, then you're going to lose some points, probably. Points that might make the difference later on between you being able to stay in this course and not. And I'm serious about this. There's going to be many of you who are just teetering on the mathematical edge of possible passing and possible not passing. Or impossible passing, I guess it would be the better phrase there. Okay, so don't do anything foolish. And not using a book to check answers before you submit open book assignments is an example of something that is foolish. So is not being aware of a due date. You'll lose points for lateness. That's a stupid waste of points, because it did not at all have to happen, as long as you take the responsibility of knowing about all the due dates, which are carefully laid out for you in multiple places, including in the Canvas listing of all the due dates. Okay, so that is that's the third site anyways. Now, is anyone already on Connect, registered for the course and everything? It's usually a pretty seamless process compared to like mastering, which can be a pain in the ass. Did you have a question?
No.
Okay, cool. Usually, I haven't gotten really many problems with student registration of Connect, so it should be seamless. But even if you don't intend to do the first assignment today, you should probably go in there and just get registered so that you know that you don't have any problems. You don't want to realize that there's some technical glitch right before the assignment is due. So go on there and get that taken care of. That's the three websites. By the way, you should always just stop me. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. Just yell anytime you want to stop me from talking and ask a question. But are there any questions so far about any of these websites? Okay, cool. Now, let's go ahead.
I saw on Canvas the grades are locked, so the grades are going to be on Connect, right?
Well, you might see one of the things that pisses me off about these publisher courses is that I can't really have the same view as a student does, even though they call it student view. It's not the same. So I don't know for sure what you'll see score-wise when you do assignments. You probably will see a score somewhere on Connect. That score on Connect will eventually be synchronized to Canvas, which is the only official place for scores. That's the only one that matters is Canvas. So if you see a discrepancy, let me know. But don't expect the synchronization to be immediate. Sometimes it takes until the next day before Canvas agrees with Connect. Anything else? Okay. The websites are pretty straightforward. Everyone's used to using websites nowadays. Let me talk a little bit about the syllabus, which is accessible if you haven't already looked at it through that last website I just checked from. That I just had on there. The Hoffman site has the syllabus on it. Now, you don't have to print out the syllabus, but I do demand that you read it. And I'm assuming that you can read it, which is why I'm not going to read the whole thing to you here. I just want to talk about the things that most people care about on the first day, which is mostly scoring. So I'm going to skip through some of this. There's my contact information, blah, blah, blah. Notice the glaring red text under Rules Consent Form. You'll see a zero only until you get this done from the Hoffman site, so do that. You should do that anyway if you obey what I've already told you to do, which is to go to the Hoffman site today and click on all the links. But that brings us to scoring, and this is what I want to talk about a little bit about. You see the categories of assignments here under scoring, but notice that I have two different columns with attendance and without attendance because I score you two different ways. Every time that an assignment happens or an assignment becomes due, I calculate your score, your total current score, which includes everything that you've done up to that point, two different ways, or the spreadsheet I designed does, with attendance and without attendance. And you don't have to worry about the fact that there's two ways of calculating, because whichever is higher is what you'll see on Canvas. I automatically give you the higher of the two scores. But one of these columns does not have attendance, and which is actually better called punctual attendance. That's important because it's more than just being here. You have to be here before I start speaking, which will always be exactly at, when did we start?
11:30.
If you come in 11:30 and 1 second, it's important that you remain here, but you won't get any attendance points for that day. Anyway, the reason that there are two ways of calculating it is that attendance points are kind of controversial in a way. And that's because, first of all, if I give you attendance points, I'm rewarding you for doing something that you actually promised you would do anyway by signing up for the course. Right? When you register for the course, you're implicitly saying, I promise to be here at 11:30 every Tuesday and Thursday. I shouldn't have to force you to do that by giving you points. Another controversy is that simply being here, sitting in front of me, does not at all tell me anything about your biological knowledge. It doesn't demonstrate that you've learned a damn thing just sitting here, right? So why should I give you points toward your final grade simply for doing your duty? Well, I think that despite all of that, it is okay to give you some points to reward you for being here, because I think the live performance is important. And I say the live performance because you might be tempted not to come, since I record everything. Every time I'm speaking, including right now, I'm recording. And you'll have all of those recordings posted on the Hoffman site. And you already have all the slideshows that I use posted on the Hoffman site. So, in other words, you could recreate the experience of being here at home once the recording link is available. And that's true, and in fact, you should do that. But it's not as good as being here to begin with. For one thing, you can't ask me questions while you're listening to a recording at home. And you can't ask other fellow students questions. And you can't hear them live ask questions, and then maybe that will spur a question in your mind. All of that is a part of being here. And seeing my expression is sometimes helpful. There's all kinds of reasons for being here. So I'm willing to give you some attendance points. All right, but since they are practically free points, I'm demanding that you be punctual, which means, I mean, it's not that I'm trying to be a prick, but when the clock hits 0:00, that becomes too late. Don't walk in right at the beginning. Okay? And by the way, to prove that you are here, there is a sign-in sheet, but this is one of the reasons today is exceptional. This is the only time that the sign-in sheet will be available after 11:30, because I hadn't talked about it before then. It's also the only time that it'll leave my desk. So I'm going to pass it around today, late. Just all I want you to do is print your name legibly, and then give it back to me when it makes its way all around. But importantly, from now on, and this will eventually become habit for you, but on Thursday, there's probably going to be several of you who forget this. Do whatever is necessary to remember that from now on, when you come in the door, don't sit down, which you're kind of used to doing. Come straight up to the desk, which is where I'll have the sign-in sheet, and sign your name, and then go sit down. Because if you sit down first, and then I start lecturing, and you say, I forgot to sign in, well, you've lost those points. Okay? Now, without attendance, there's still the same total number of points that make up your total score for your grade, your final grade. There's just one fewer category since there's no attendance. And that means if attendance isn't counted, all of the other categories are worth a little bit more. They're more valuable, and therefore they affect your score more, your total grade score. Right? So that means in either direction, they will affect it. A good score will affect it more. A bad score will affect it more. And that's why these percentages are different for the two categories. All right. So this is all behind the scenes. I'll do it both ways and give you the higher of the two. Now, speaking again of comparatively easy points, they don't come easier than attendance points. Just being here is the only thing you have to do. Well, you have to write your name. That's it. It's even easier than looking up answers for a quiz. So very foolish if you're one of the many people who will be struggling for points to miss any of those. The meatiest things in terms of value are the lecture examinations I was a little bit referring to before. There are five of those. And I call them lecture examinations because they're, for one thing, about what happens in here, this room, which is the lecture section of the overall course. Later today, we'll be downstairs for the laboratory section. It's all one final grade that you'll get. You won't get separate lecture and lab grades. But the lecture examinations are tests based on what I tell you. And this is what I was referring to when I earlier said that the e-text, even though it does have the information I'll be teaching you, is not the way to prepare for these. Every bit of information in the questions I write on my lecture examinations comes from what I deliver in my lectures. Along those same lines, I can promise you that if I don't mention it in any of my lectures, it will not be in any of my lecture exam questions. And that's one reason why an e-text can be it's a waste of time in a sense if you're using it to study for a test. Because there will be information in the e-text that I choose not to give you. Time is going to be at a premium, like I said. So work efficiently. Therefore, the most important source of information for studying for the things that affect your final grade the most, the lecture exams, are the recordings. Now, there's two links in the Hoffman site for recordings. There are online lectures and slideshows. Those have already happened. Those are already up there available. They're from a previous term. It's still me, and I say largely the same stuff, even though it's different ways each term. They're up there already. Those are, even though that's to a previous class, these are actually the most important things. When you click on that online lectures and slideshow link, it brings you to this page, which gives you several options. But the most important option are these SSS ones, the synchronized slideshows, which is easiest to use because it includes the slideshow, the video of the slideshow, and me synchronized. Now, you could separately listen to the current version, which is available on the Hoffman site as current term lecture recordings. That's what I'm recording right now, is a current term lecture recording. And just watch the slideshow as its own file while you listen to the lecture. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. But if you skip around, it's going to be a bitch to sync the two up again. These, if you fast forward, it's right in place, the audio and the video. Even though it's from a different term. Don't worry about that. These things are not optional. Don't think of them as being an optional resource. This is what you have to study in order to do well on the exams, which will be, for most people, the lowest scoring, even though they are the most valuable things. That's an unfortunate reality. They'll affect your total score the most, the lecture exams, and they'll be the hardest things to score well. Usually the exam means are somewhere in the 60s%. So they are not the comparatively easy points. Those are the hardest points to come by. But you can make it a lot easier to come by those points and therefore greatly affect your score if you listen to me about how to study for them, which is the synchronized slideshows. This is something that takes a lot of time. So being here takes a certain amount of time, of course, right? 75 minutes twice a week is time, plus the lab is a few hours. But that's only a part of what the time that you need to put in if you plan to succeed. Now, every instructor will tell you about this. In fact, that's what this little poster is about, this pyramid thing. Being here is just the tip of the iceberg, in other words. You need to put in time outside of class. Well, a big fraction of the time spent outside of this classroom for this course is spending time on the recordings, learning the material. When I eventually start today's lecture for biology, you'll be hopefully taking notes. If you're wise, you will be taking notes. You should do as good a job as you can during the live performance at taking notes, but you're not going to get everything down. All right? And in fact, I wouldn't want you to, because if you put that much effort into just writing, then you're not really watching and paying attention to me as much. But you get down some notes during the live performance. Those notes you should definitely think of as rough draft notes. Your goal is to produce a set of notes that are really so good that you can pass the test with an A. once you study those notes. But how do the notes get that good? By repeated listening of the corresponding synchronized slideshows. Okay, so it takes 75 minutes to get through a lecture in here. It should take even more time for one listening of a recorded lecture. Because if you use the recorded lecture properly, you shouldn't just be listening through it in real time. You should be pausing me here and there so that you can refine your rough notes that you made during the live performance with greater detail from the recording. So that takes even more time than being here, even if you only do it once, and you probably shouldn't do it just once to really prepare for the exams. All right? So that's a big fraction of the time spent outside of the course, but it's not something that you can skip. There's a lot of people who think they can skip this, and they are among the many people who end up withdrawing, unfortunately. All right, any questions now? All right, let's go back to the syllabus. Those are the only points directly earned in here, the attendance and the lecture exam points. So the rest of these categories are all laboratory related, and therefore I'll talk more about those specifically when we get into the laboratory room later on today. Right, but those are the things that you get scored on. The next page shows you the actual grade cutoffs, the grading scale, which is 10% spacing just like a 90-80-70 is. It's a straight scale in that sense, but it's not a 90-80-70. All the other instructors use 90-80-70. I drop the floors for these. And that's not because I'm easy. It's because I realize that getting a 90 in my course is probably a little bit more difficult than getting a 90 in a different instructor teaching the same course. So instead of requiring a 90 for an A, I require an 86, because if I do it that way, then I end up giving the same number of A's as the other instructors do. All right? It is a big mistake to cheer in your mind the fact that you don't need a 90 or that you don't need a 70 for a C, which is really what everyone needs, because you can't, a D is worthless in this course for a mass, for a major. Don't say, yay, all I need is a 66, because getting a 66 in this course is going to be a struggle for many of you. All right? And if you haven't learned by now in your early scholastic career, you will learn in this course probably that not all courses are equal in terms of difficulty and in terms of grade. An A is not an A. I mean, an A in one course has nothing to do with an A in another course. And it's not unusual for someone who's never gotten anything but an A to still struggle in this. I'm not saying that's fair. That's just the way things are. So it's great if you've gotten all A's. Just don't be complacent about that and expect you'll be able to coast in this course, unless you are truly, truly exceptional. And I've had that happen. I've had people do so well in this course that they didn't even have to take the final because it wouldn't make any mathematical difference. That's very rare, but it's possible. So I don't want you to think that this course is impossible. It's definitely possible. But not if you don't put in the time. Now, the rest of this is something that you can read for your own pleasure, but am I skipping anything that you care about at this point? Or are you wondering anything, I mean? Nothing? All right. So you're ready for science, then. All right. As you get out your notes, let me transition to the other slideshow.